All right, here it is, podcast, December 27th, 2021. Coming up on the end of the old year. Just a few short days left here in 2021. Hope it treated you all right. It's been a crazy year. The last 2 years have been pretty crazy, I guess.
Yeah, the last 2 years kind of sucked.
Yeah, it hasn't been very joyous, that's for sure. A little ELO playing in the background there for you. Me and Jason talking about ELO just a minute ago. Thought we'd play you a little. Turn to Stone, Jeff Lynne and the boys.
Yep. Yeah, you were saying that I think it was a more modernized version of
Yeah, Beatles. Their arrangements were very much, you know, Beatlesque. Mm-hmm. And then their style too, you know, just.
Yeah, some of the, like, the lyrics.
You're not going to lie, you know, and Jeff Lynne will tell you that he was a huge Beatles fan. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, then he went, you know, Jeff Lynne went and did Traveling Wilburys with Tom Petty, Roy Orbison, and George Harrison.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, that makes sense.
So, yeah. Which, that was that first album, great.
Hey, we like your music.
Hey, it's really great, man. Yeah, yeah, peace, love, and all that stuff.
But no, it's I think it was right. Rogan when he was talking to Brian Redband. They were talking about kind of how music is, you know, the lyrics are different now. The lyrics aren't as much in the forefront as it was, you know, back then. They couldn't figure out whether it's just they just sound like their parents, like, oh, that's not music, you know, like this is
right,
or if it's actually that, you know, lyrical importance.
Yeah, I believe it's very important in music. I mean, you have some great songwriters. I've heard, you know, there's songs that, you know, can just break you down inside, and there's songs that just make you want to go drive real fast.
Yeah. I think it's a little of both. I think that, you know, the lyrical importance has shifted in a different way, and also pop music has just kind of, despite the amount of people that still fucking listen to a lot of this shit, is still, you know, it's still somewhat relevant, but it's kind of irrelevant.
But I mean, even, you know, not a huge fan of pop music, but there was always, you know, I could always find something inside of pop music that I liked, but now it's tough, you know, now it's really tough because it's just become so over hyper sexualized and it just seems very shallow. I know pop music's always been shallow,
but this is, you know,
but I like, even like now it's just like mucking around in the mud, you know, there's not even like a shallow water there.
I think, music's always supposed to have been edgy, and that's not really going to stop as it progresses. And it's
right.
The shallowness, I think, has increased, although it's been on track for a while, because, you know, pop music's kind of fucking shallow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little of both, too. I think you're saying, like, yeah, maybe there's pieces of, you're like, you know what, I don't really like this artist, but this one song is good.
It's good.
Or, you know,
one hit wonder song.
Yeah.
You know?
And then also, like, the pop music genres now have to compete with they have to compete with the fact that, you know, people can get online and just show their own music and kind of get a following that, so it's not so regulated as it was before. So now, you know, pop culture has to now compete with more people because they don't have to be filtered through them, like, this is good.
I mean, they just put their stuff up on YouTube, but I still think but I still think there's just that disconjointed, you know,
musician
to band to writer to engineer, you know, there's magic made in the studio, you know, when they're all together.
Yeah.
You know, there's people sitting there going, you know what, maybe we should move that part to here, or I work this out just to, you know, here, check this out, you know, and that improvisation inside the studio, and where they're now, they just sit at home. I feel like they just passing tracks to each other. And
I'm sure there's a fair bit of that, but, you know, it's electronic music is, you know,
it can be one person. I totally understand that.
Does the whole thing of, you know, it's all those same things, but it's just one.
But I get that. Person. But I get that. You know, I understand that's a DJ, you know.
Yeah.
He's taken, you know, just songs and reinterpreted them. He's
kind of like a modern
They usually make great producers, like Dr. Dre made a great producer because he was a DJ.
It's like a modern version of having your own little orchestra, because, I mean, you put in all the different sounds and you layer stuff, and then you go through it and you're like, you know what, this is missing something. Then you got to figure out, like, oh, what if I had this?
Right.
And then maybe I have this build up here. And
Totally get it. I mean, there's plenty of house music and, you know, electronic music that I do like.
But the thing is, like, so, okay, so that part, like, I get it too, and I like that a lot. But yeah, lyrically, I mean, it's mostly heavily instrumental. Some of them have lyrics.
I would say a band a newer band, mm-hmm. most recent would be Tame Impala. They have some really good music and some good lyrics too. You know, I mean, you can tell that it's really well produced.
Yeah,
and arranged. The guy who arranges, whoever's arranging that, is fucking genius.
Yeah, so there
but other, is, there's music out there, you know. I have to talk to my daughters, and they lean towards what I like and things like that too. But they also still, you know, they know that I'm open. So
yeah,
I was, you know, before Christmas, my daughter called me, and so it's like she was with her friend Sean, and they're like, and they said, "Well, we want to call and ask you a couple music questions, Dad." And I'm like, "All right." And Sean was like, "You know, if you know what would you what, you know what's your favorite genre of heavy metal?" And I was like, "Well, I mean, I like all heavy metal." It's like, I'm not really that much into not too picky, but I mean, it's like, I don't really like Swedish death metal. Those guys seem to take that shit pretty serious, But I was like, you know, there's plenty of, you know, metal. I was like, you know, go back to the beginnings of Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, all that.
Place to start.
And I was like, but then, you know, you have, you know, different branches of what could be construed as metal or hard rock. But I didn't, you know.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's some, you know, music nowadays that is kind of, it's hard to describe it and whether or not it's hard rock or just metal. Like, I would consider it more hard rock, but maybe by today's standards it'd be considered more metal.
Right. Well, there's definitely a lot of metal influence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, my wife, she loves Shinedown. There's some good Shinedown songs out there, you know, and I've seen them live and they put on a hell of a good show, but they have a very heavy kind of, you know, sound, you know.
Speaking of which, every catering job you do for a wedding, enjoy hearing Simple Man
version.
You're gonna get sick of that song real quick. It's a good song too.
Oh well,
about the great. Thousandth time you hear it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I had to live through it. It was Kendrick singing it.
Yeah.
Very popular on the classic rock station.
I mean, it's the go-to. It's a good song. Wedding song.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
A good one. So it's just a simple Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think there's just some kind of connection from, I guess, the artist or the band to the listener, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where they have to go out and promote. You go see, you go, like, you hear them on the local radio station, you know, because they were in town and promoting the show or going to record stores and doing record store signings and things like that, you know? They just...
Yeah.
Now so I think feel like now you, just, now you just go... Go to the pay your ticket, get anally searched, patted down behind a barricade. Everything's very orderly, you know. You know, like the good old days back when I first started going to concert, it was just like general admission. General admission meant the floor.
Yeah, and now they sell the floor. In the building at this time.
And now they sell the floor.
Now you get floor seats.
Yeah, like, yeah, they're like the premium. They're the premium seats now, and. Yeah. You know, I remember just like going to Dayton Hare Arena and the doors open, man. And yeah, general admission, man, you went straight for the stage. Oh, yeah. You wanted to get as close as possible. Then wherever you figured out, you know, then you just start working your way through the crowd, you know.
See, I would always get greedy.
Looking for the hole.
I would always get greedy. I would go straight for the bar, grab my drinks, and do the awkward, like, kind of walk through the crowd.
Yeah,
and
like,
over
the
course of the next 2 to 3 songs, I'll make my way up there just slowly, like, one person at a time.
But, like I said, I just feel like there's, like, a connection missing, I guess, between, like I said, the listener and the musician, and even just, like, the musicians themselves.
Well, the, I guess one of the little
things... These are just opinions, you know. No, there's great musicians out there, and there's plenty of bands that make, you know, I know there's bands out there doing shit that's good.
It's not the big show that it was in the past, because people don't have to be at the physical location as much anymore. It's more of a choice now that it's like, hey, if you want to see this band, they're in town, you know, this week only, like, here you... And now it's like, well, if I missed them, I can catch the live stream of it. Or
yeah,
like,
but it's never the same.
It's not, but...
Yeah.
You at least have an option, but there's that's the good thing about around here, the places like Marathon Music Works.
Yeah, you
like
have a lot of great venues in this town. The Exit Inn and
Exit Inn's good.
Third and Lindsley, some of your smaller venues. Well, we're losing the the Mercy Lounge and the Cannery Row. I guess they sold that property, and
Oh really?
I guess by the spring they're going to be out of there, and it's going to be gone. So that's like an icon in this town that we're losing. You know?
Yeah. Shit. Wonder what the fuck.
Of course, you have the Ryman, which is a fucking amazing place Ryman's to see a show. Good.
There's that new theater. Was it
the Ascend? The Ascend is the amphitheater. Thank God for the flood. we got an amphitheater out of it.
It's like, well, then you can wait till that floods. Just like have your bring your tubes with you, and that won't. It'll be like the Travis Scott concert, only more positive. It's just, it won't stop playing. Everybody's tube, and it's great. And then you get sucked down the river. And you're like, oh, that's not good.
But there's some newer. Cold. But there's some newer venues that opened up downtown, like Bowie's, which is. They're a rock venue, and then I went over to this place over by the sound. And I guess that's what the thing I could figure. Went and saw Sebastian Bach over at the Brooklyn Bowl, which was a cool venue. You got the bowl, see a show. You could eat bowl, see a show.
That's cool.
You know, and then like the lanes were right there by the stage. You know, like you just they're just right over there. But I mean, once the show started, you couldn't hear anybody bowling, you know?
No, absolutely.
Maybe in between when it got a little quiet, you hear a little, "Ooh, turkey." Market zero. No, it was fun. But I saw Sebastian Bach. He still hits his notes, and
hell yeah,
he was fun. He was fun. You know, I'm not like a huge Skid Row fan, but it was a good show.
Yeah,
nice. Slave to the Grind record in its entirety, which is really good, actually probably my favorite Skid Row record. It's pretty rough and hard.
Yeah, that's a good stuff.
And then in between he played, of course, the hits from Skid Row.
Yeah.
And it was fun, and he was funny and laughed, you know, and had a good time.
I can tell he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
He was on fucking Trailer Park.
He was on Trailer Park Boys, And he did that. He did that show with John Rich called Going Country.
Oh, yeah.
With Dee Snider and him, and I think maybe Scott Ian, I think, maybe. Hmm. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But there was, me neither, but I just remember I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible. Brett Michaels. Oh, Brett Michaels was on it. Okay, I think Brett Michaels was on it, too.
But no, like some of the venues around here, like it's cool. I've been to Exit Inn, but like Marathon specifically.
I've been to Marathon. I saw Clutch there. They were great.
Yeah, I've seen like the most shows there, and that's the closest I've been. Because any other concert you go other places, you don't get to get like that close to the people playing.
True.
Yeah. In Marathon, you can basically like walk up and they're like 6 feet away from you. And you're like, oh, shit, this is fucking cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw Clutch there. It's a good venue too. It's that whole area is kind of cool over there.
Yeah.
Old car factory actually.
Yep.
Marathon Motor Works.
Yep. And then what was it? American Pickers are in that.
Yeah, the Pickers. I think Mike Wolf has a store. I think he owns the store inside of inside the Marathon building. So if you need some overpriced junk, just head on over there. I met Mike Wolf once. He was actually a pretty laid back kind of guy.
See, he's the tall guy.
He's a tall, skinny guy. Yeah, dark hair. Frank. I heard Frank.
He was pretty.
He's pretty cool. He came in. I was working at this restaurant over in Franklin, and we're just kind of getting right open. We're gonna have a party in one of the private rooms, and we see this guy driving up in like an old Model A. You know, I'm like, completely restored, and it's just looking. I'm like, holy shit, that's nice. And who gets out? Mike Wolf, and the bartender. He's like, that's Mike Wolf. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense why he's got that car then. You know?
It must have just scooped it up out of a barn.
But he was, I guess, the party, you know. So they went back into the private room and ate. And then it was kind of slow that night except for that party. And I was out front talking to some people. And I was standing over by the bar talking to the bartender. And then you have to go past the bar to get to the bathroom. And Mike Wolf comes around and we're standing there, and I'm like, hey, man, that's a beautiful car. I was like, is that a Model T? And he goes, oh, it's a Model A. And I was like, oh, no shit, man. I was like, that's fucking nice.
Yeah.
He goes, this is the furthest I've drove it.
Yeah.
He goes, I just got it out of, like, the shop, like, about 2 weeks ago. And he goes, and this is the longest ride it's been on. But, yeah, real friendly, so.
Yeah, he's probably not taking it on.
I mean, he's been dealing with some weird ass people over his life, crawling through those barns, you know.
Yeah, people, giant spiders.
Giant spiders getting bit, falling off shit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I'm sure it's probably
like middle of nowhere in like some town that has like 300 people in Alabama. They're like, oh, we're gonna go wander through this old guy's barn.
Like, yeah. What the real question is, how many barns have you fell through? Yeah. You know, or floors.
Yeah, you want to, it sounds painful, but you want to catch a rafter because you don't want to go all the way through.
Or but, just ended up at somebody's house that were just hoarders. Walk in and it's just gross, episodes, you know?
Yeah, where you got boxes and boxes and stuff. You're lucky if it's in boxes. Hopefully it's in boxes.
Or it's just fucking gross. They never showed any, like, disgusting place they went to. I'm sure as time progressed, they got more savvy about their choices.
Well, at that point, you can afford it. You know, you can kind of pick and choose. You don't have to just go walk through every tumbling barn you can find.
Well, that's what they usually did. They just used, like, a lot of the show was them just on the road.
Yeah.
Looking for places. Yeah. Or they'd have, like, a destination to go to, but then they would just drive and, like, oh, let's, that looks pretty interesting. You know, go over there and see what this guy's got.
Yeah, I've got a few like family members and friends are still into the whole, you know, like picking and finding antiques and going to different places, and you can still find stuff, you know, especially down south. I think the north.
Oh yeah, there's
pretty well picked out.
Yeah, the barns are full of them down here.
Yeah, I don't know. There's still a lot of cool stuff to find.
Now, this is my great great grandpappy's tobacco barn, and we just started loading it up with junk.
Pappy, we got to name the town Murfreesboro.
But we just started loading it up with junk and
it's like the clamp
keeping it away from the revenuers, you know.
Keep the tax man out.
Keep that tax man out. Every now and then I take a few pieces and, you know, brew a little moonshine.
Yeah. A whole lot of people coming out with shotguns going, you go on, get.
You go on, you ain't welcome around here, boy. You stay away from your sister.
Yeah. She's mine. I'm like, she's God damn it. I hate this fucking
place. Uncle Joe, no.
Dang it, Brandine. Your dad uncle's going to be really mad about this. How does that work? How does that translate?
I don't know.
Need to get your own Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, just
places.
The tree just grows
right
up
here.
It's just no branches. Just straight.
It looks
up
like the Festivus tree.
it's a stainless steel pole.
Festivus for the rest of us. Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't have much of a Festivus.
I missed it. I didn't even think about it. It was the 23rd. Yeah. Actually, that's the day.
You didn't have the feats of strength.
We did not have feats of strength. We may have aired some grievances.
Yeah, that's a standard holiday tradition. You always have to air up dirty laundry.
Yeah, that's always there. Talk about the thing that happened when you guys were like 12.
Yeah.
Still mad at you. I'm sorry. I broke the ladder on your Tonka truck. Is things better now? Hell no. You know how much that thing would be worth right now if I still had it? No, you broke the ladder.
This ends with see you next year.
Yeah.
How about pick more, it all up.
How about we drink a little more?
Yeah, that's Homer Simpson said it best. Like alcohol, the cause of and the solution to all of life's problems.
Yep. Beer. Is there nothing you can't do?
So it turns you from an American to an American.
That's right.
Get a can of fucking Budweiser in you.
But all in all, I guess my Christmas was pretty decent around here at family in town. You went up north and hung out with the family, right?
Did. Yeah. Nice. Flights up, not too bad. There's no direct flights anymore.
No,
there's too much.
Not unless you pay like $10,000.
Yeah, now I can get a private plane at that. I think I just fucking find somebody.
Get a direct flight.
I know one person that has a Cessna, and I can go bounce around and almost die flying up there with that thing. because the winds are a little strong. Yeah. So
we can only get up to about 1,200 a day.
You're going to want to stay below the cloud layer. Like, I'd rather be like 5,000 feet up than trying to like make our work our way through whatever windy bullshit.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't too bad going up. I mean, it was normal temperature for around there. It was in the 20s. It was kind of cold when first landed. And next day, they had some of that wet, like sleet, sort of wet snow shit. Because it was in like the low, it was like 32 when it was, as the weather was kind of shitty. So it was slip sliding around going in between my dad's place, my mom's place. And then in the morning, kind of slowed down, cleared up, sun came out, and then stayed in the 30s. Supposed to get up in the 40s up there, which for the end of December is pretty fucking warm. Like, it's normally like, well, it's going to be 17 today, not too bad.
Oh, no, it's heating up out there.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 30s, even the 40s. Like, oh, it's like almost fucking t-shirt weather.
Yeah.
Up there. Not for me. I was like, now it's like, I used to like the cold and be like that. Now I'm a bitch up there. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. Fuck that.
I want to go stand next to the fire. Fuck this. And go out back and shoot for a little
bit. Who wants to be out here? It's freezing.
And I was like, oh, let me show you this new rifle we got, and go out back shooting for a little while. And then, like, you know, 10 minutes in, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun, but I'm cold. I want to go back inside. Yeah.
I can't put enough clothes on.
Yeah. I'm just, I don't know. I got that southern blood now, I guess.
It's been thinned out. In there. It's been thinned out. It's not thick.
Well, thinned it out with alcohol, maybe, you know. other times it maybe I would have been better suited for it, but even then I still drink a lot up there. It's just you get acclimated to things. Your body adapts to stuff, and when you're living up there, your body just kind of accepts it too. It's like, so it's also like, I know I'm only gonna be up there for a couple days, so my body's like, what the fuck are you doing outside?
What the hell? Why is it so cold here?
You know, this isn't necessary, right? We were just warm a second ago.
Yeah, we could have stayed in Tennessee.
Looking at the weather, it's 70 fucking degrees down there.
75 degrees and sunny and warm.
It's like
Tennessee.
Phoenix weather.
It's like some of that Christmas spring mist.
Christmas in Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch out for the cartels.
Sounds like a dirty trailer.
Oh, yeah. That's a valued property down there. You leave them alone with their unnecessary shootings and their crazy cartels and meth heads. And really just like Phoenix, even Phoenix had like, they were brown, but they had some mountains. You know, down there, it's raising Arizona.
Yeah, it's just sagebrush and dirt.
It's just Nicolas Cage skidding through the aisles with a thing of toilet paper and diapers underneath his arms, just running out of a store.
And a pantyhose on his head.
Yeah.
Well, you got pantyhose on your head, son.
Put the bunny back in the box. Ah, shit, that's the wrong movie. Watch that over Christmas, though. You know, for all the shit that Nicolas Cage gets, he did some pretty good movies.
There were some fun ones that he did. You know, definitely Raising Arizona was
Raising Arizona was great.
Was awesome. He did one with where he thought he was turning into a vampire.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. I like Con Air.
Con Air is great. So, I mean,
he got shit on, and it's just a, you know. We know. It's an action movie.
It is.
And we know exactly what's a Hollywood action movie. Lots of explosions. Mm-hmm. Ragtag bunch of people. We're going to move all these fucking dangerous prisoners in the same plane on the same day.
Including Sir Dave Chappelle.
And Sir Dave Chappelle.
He was in that fucking movie. Yeah. It's so funny. Because he's still funny as shit, even back then. But you look at him, you're like, oh, man, he was so young in that.
Oh, man. Robin Hood Men in Tights is the first thing I ever saw Dave Chappelle in.
Oh, God, he was also a funny movie. Chew. Yeah.
And I guess he said, I was just doing stand-up, you know, and barely making it. And he goes, and all of a sudden I get this phone call from my agent saying should go try out for the Mel Brooks movie or something.
Hell yeah, man.
And there he is, you know. Like, and there I am. He goes, but if you remember, I didn't do a whole lot of stuff in between that. He said, a lot of stand-up. That's when he really built his stand-up career.
Sure, like, first, you know, like, kind of picked it up. It was like, oh, shit, these crackers wrote me.
Yeah, they hired me. And they needed the black guy. They all needed the black guy.
But it's, you know, I get friends that are, like, similar age to me. So, like, you know, once in a while when we'll hang out, like, I'll kind of want to, and say, we'll kind of want to, I kind of want to sit down and watch like movies from like my childhood, so like 80s and 90s movies.
Yeah.
And so we watched, the last time I watched Twister, and we watched Con Air. And like Con Air, so, like, you know, all the effects and, like, the general premise, like, all that holds up. The dialogue, like, is not as cool as I remember it was, because I remember all the dialogue being really cool when I was younger. But, you know, it's still, like, it was still a really good movie, and the cast is fucking crazy. You had John Malkovich. Danny Trejo was in
Danny Trejo. I'm trying to think of Nicolas Cage, of course. Dave Chappelle.
They had,
somebody. Oh, wasn't Steve Buscemi in it?
He was. He played the extra creepy fucking Silence of the Lambs guy.
And then I forget who were the hacks. Who were the guards on that plane? There were some, like, famous people who were, like, the guards.
Well, there's the DA. There was a the guy who played one of the agents. He was really big, and I can't believe I can't remember his fucking, because he was in, is it John Cusack?
John Cusack.
He was in.
Yeah, that's right.
He was
that's
huge then.
He was big.
And then there was the guy, he was in Drive. He played one of the mobster guys. He does a lot of voice acting. Fucking A. He played one of the agents, too, that had the Corvette. That was his car. And I can't remember his fucking name. And that's going to bother me.
Right.
But, you know, it's for what it was a good movie. Like,
oh, yeah. I enjoyed it, you know?
And then Twister, honestly, like, still holds up. There's one or two computer-generated scenes where you look at it and you're like, that was way cooler in the theaters.
Yeah.
But, like, even the tornado itself, like, now I'm scared. Like,
yeah, I saw it in the theater and it was fucking loud. It was,
like, seeing that in the theater.
I remember just like the theater shaking.
Dude, even watching it now, that tornado, even though it's computer generated and stuff, it still looks about as good as you could
imagine.
You could do it now, because it's like there's only so real you can make it, because even seeing them on video and stuff, you look at it and it's real and you go, that doesn't look real. So when you see one that kind of doesn't look real, you're like, that looks real.
Because
it almost doesn't look real. But yeah, that's Helen Hunt and fucking
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Yeah. Didn't Bill Pullman was in.
He was in
Independence Day
and Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. No, Bill Paxton. He did die.
He was the. He was Chet in Weird Science. That's what I think it was. Is actually his first movie. Like, he'd been done, like, he was doing, like, stage acting, and he ended up getting that gig.
Yeah, and that's what led to all these people moving to Los Angeles. So I think if they just, you know. Like, oh, I'm a server at a restaurant, but if I have my headshot and the screenplay I wrote handy, and when I see one of these celebrities,
I'm going to pass it off to them and do a little De Niro for them.
Yeah.
Do my scene.
Hey, how about you? Like, all right, get the fuck out of here.
Okay, we're trying to eat. Lunch. Okay. Can you just bring us some sandwiches? Yeah.
So I don't know. Some of those old movies are still older. That's not even that old.
They still hold up. I still love Die Hard. That first Die Hard is amazing.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So do you think that's a Christmas movie or not?
It's a Christmas movie, but you can watch it whenever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was released like in the summer.
It's kind of a like thing when it was became a tradition to watch around Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. That's...
But yeah, when it was released, it was like a summer movie.
Yeah, it was. It was in July.
It was like June or July they released that movie.
Yeah.
But we're like. Christmas movie. And then, of course,
but it just morphed into
it. It just morphed into it because people are like, well, we should watch Die Hard. It happened on Christmas.
Yep.
And there you have it. So then Hans Gruber falls out of the Nakatomi Tower. Alan Rickman. This is Alan Rickman. Remember to pull the roast out of the freezer.
Family Guy made fun of him. He's fucking leaving himself messages on the answering machine. Remember to take the pork chops from the freezer and move them to the refrigerator. Don't disappoint me. Hello, Alan Rickman.
Hello, it's me, Alan Rickman. Yeah. But very smart.
They did multiple Die Hard fucking character references, though, because then they also had Jeremy Irons cereal.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy Irons cereal.
He sings it as a toy in the bottom. He was very Werner Herzog type of character. Jeremy Irons in the third Die Hard. He was the German bad guy. English-speaking Germans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we're getting ready to roll out of here. We've been up on 30 minutes. We will be back. Little M for you, pop music.